Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first audio episode of Ridewell. We're just trying something new. I hope you guys enjoy it, and please let me know in the comments what you think of the new format. I'm Lauren, your host, and I'm here today with Laura Smith, the co-founder and designer at Worse for Wear.
In case you haven't heard of Worse for Wear, they're an up-and-coming women's motorcycle apparel company that just launched their first product in April, the Crosstown Jeans. I'm so glad to have you today, Laura.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So just for people who haven't heard of you guys yet, could you please tell me a little bit about Worse for Wear and how you got started?
Yeah, sure. So Worse for Wear is a company that makes motorcycle apparel specifically for women. We make everything here in the United States. We actually have a workshop in Richmond, Virginia, where we design and manufacture all of our gear.
Excellent.
Thanks. Yeah, mm-hmm. We keep everything U.S.-based as much as we possibly can. So everything that you find on our store is all U.S.-made and manufactured apparel. And it's kind of funny, like, how it started. My husband and I, we were just dating at the time. This is a few years ago. You know, he and I were, of course, out drinking one night because that's when all good ideas seem to pop up.
Definitely.
So this was at the time when we were living in Austin, Texas. We didn't live in Richmond yet. So we were out at, trying to remember where we were, the Yellow Jacket Social Club, which was like right down the street from my house. And we were drinking, and I've been riding for a really long time. And so, you know, Scott had been kind of listening to me for years, like just bitching about safety gear and apparel and stuff.
A common topic to bitch on for women writers.
And, you know, it was like all the common stuff, like the mm-hmm. shrink and pinket issues where everything just felt like men's gear, but it had weird like pink and purple and mm-hmm. flowers and butterflies on it. Or it was like made in China out of, mm-hmm. or I should say made overseas, not necessarily, I don't want to pick on China or anything, but you know, it was like made overseas in factories where like quality was maybe not the top concern, and so
The fabric's not too great, doesn't fits kind of funky,
mm-hmm. And so, you know, he just looked at me and he said, well, why don't we just make it ourselves? And I was like, you're out of your mind, but
sure, why not? Obviously, you know? Not too crazy.
Yeah, how hard could it be? Mm-hmm. Which is really famous last words for anything mm-hmm. that goes on here at Worse for Wear. How hard could it be?
Yes, I understand. Yeah. So that's awesome. So you guys just launched the Crosstown Jeans in April. Is that correct?
Yeah. April. I guess it was, end of April. So it's mm-hmm. only been a little while that they've been out, but we've gotten a lot of great response from customers. And we've been working pretty hard to fulfill orders here. We make everything to order.
Uh-huh.
So when a customer places an order, we offer some options for customization, like mm-hmm. inseam length. And we just started offering some different leg options, like leg tapering. It's not like a true skinny jean. You still have to
put
a knee pocket.
You
know, you don't want to look like a knobby-kneed baseball player or something like that. But we do offer some other customization options now. So when you place an order, you can do your customizations, and then we make them to order and then get them shipped out to you as soon as they're finished.
Very cool. Yeah, I know that a while ago you put out a call for women's writers' measurements, and I think that was a really awesome move. Can you tell me a bit more about why you did that and what you guys learned from that process?
Yeah, sure. So my background is in user experience design for software.
Awesome.
So I worked for Adobe for a long time before starting my company. And one thing that you learn as a user experience designer is anything that you're going to make, you're not typically the end user for your product unless you're just making stuff for yourself. You're making things for customers. And so it's always a good idea to find out what customers want before you start making things for them. Because if you make assumptions, well, you know what happens when mm-hmm. you assume.
Yes.
So I tried to remove a lot of the assumptions from the ideas of things that we thought would be good to make.
Yeah.
And instead just turn that back around on the customer to ask them, you know, what is it that you want us to make? And what sort of shapes should we make it in? And
yeah.
those shapes are going to be based on the measurements that you provide to me so that I know the cut and the style and the fit that we need to come out with for our first products at launch.
Very cool. So what were the results like? Was it kind of like what you expected, or did you learn something completely different?
The results were, they were similar to what I was expecting, but not identical. And so what we had learned was for all of the measurements that we had received, women were fitting into kind of two categories. And the more popular category was that curvy fit that we came out with for the Crosstown jean.
Nice.
So we had a number of respondents whose waist measurement to hip measurement difference was anywhere between 10 and 15 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Crosstown curvy jean is, you know, it kind of meets the requirements of that 10 to 15 inch difference between mm-hmm. waist and hip measurements. Whereas the other set was more of a, like a 6 to 9 inch difference
mm-hmm.
from waist to hip measurements, with a slightly narrower thigh, measurement. So that's the second cut that we're working on. That's going to be coming out probably in the next month.
Oh, very cool. That's soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've been able to kind of nail that one down on a nice. Couple of fit models that we have available to us locally.
Cool. That's really awesome. You know, I think fit is really one of the more undervalued areas of, you know, when you're buying motorcycle gear, especially jackets and jeans, because, you know, if it doesn't fit right and you end up sliding on it, then that gear could fall off or move and not protect mm-hmm. you in the way it's intended. So I think that's really awesome that you guys took the time to figure out, you know, what sizes do our customers actually need.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, very cool. So what other safety features have you guys kind of bundled into the Crosstown jeans?
Well, there's a whole bunch, but I'll try and
yeah, go for it.
Kind of list it out fairly succinctly. So just with any protective apparel,
mm-hmm.
What you're looking at for a piece of protective apparel is its resistance to abrasion mm-hmm. and how it's going to protect you from impact. And so those were the two areas that we focus on in all of our gear, abrasion resistance and impact protection. So for our Crosstown jeans and with this other cut of jeans that they're still yet to be named.
Mm-hmm.
So with the second cut.
The anonymous jeans.
Yes, the jeans. I think we've been calling them 1X.
Nice.
that's our internal name. But just with the riding jeans,
mm-hmm.
Abrasion resistance was, of course, you know, one of the most important things. So when we looked at how we wanted our riding jeans to work and how customers had given us feedback on riding jeans,
mm-hmm.
They wanted integrated abrasion resistance and not just another Kevlar liner mm-hmm. underneath some sort of a cotton denim.
Yeah.
So having the integrated abrasion resistance like we do with the mm-hmm. fabric that we're using allows you to have that integrated protection from mm-hmm. your waist all the way down to your toes.
Yeah. It's a little more comfortable. You don't have to worry about the bunching inside or, you know, missing any part because of that. Because
yeah.
it's not, sometimes they like end before, like on the thigh somewhere, and they don't fully cover your leg or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
So part of that also is, you know, as part of the abrasion resistance factor, it's not just the fabric that we use, but it's also the mm-hmm. thread that you use to stitch it together.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's something yeah. that you don't really think about. It's just mm-hmm. the construction method of the jean of that particular piece of apparel.
Yeah, but it makes total sense. I mean, if your stitching isn't going to hold up, then you've just lost your pants.
Exactly. And it's funny, a lot of riders that we had talked to during our investigation process who had gone down in wearing things like just regular fashion cotton denim jeans, but not riding jeans.
Yeah.
One of the things that they had said was, I fell on my hip or I fell on my thigh, I fell on the side of my leg,
mm-hmm.
and the jeans just burst open.
Yeah. Wow.
Which then, you know, it's like you're wearing nothing at all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just your skin in the asphalt. There's nothing mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yikes.
So, yeah, I know. And it's, we've thought more about crashing motorcycles than I think I've ever wanted to think about in my entire
life. Yeah. It's not an uplifting topic.
No,
but, you
it's
know.
Not. It's not
really. Yeah.
So the thread that we use is an abrasion resistant bonded mm-hmm. nylon thread. That's also, it's like a military spec thread.
Wow. Nice. That's
used in other abrasion resistant applications for military mm-hmm. gear.
Cool.
So
heavy duty, you know, stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it'll hold up. It'll hold up on you when it you know, if it go on mm-hmm. some sort of a slide against pavement, which is very different from a thread that's used in fashion jeans. Fashion yeah. jeans are like, it's like a polyester mm-hmm. cotton blend,
yeah.
where that thread is really just teeny tiny pieces of yarn that are then woven back into, or I'm sorry, spun back into making a longer thread. But if you pull really hard at one end or another, it's going to break at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The thread that we use, that bonded nylon,
yeah,
one long, like miles and miles and miles long, uniform, twisted piece of nylon that, you know, if you were to tug on it on either side, you're going to have to pull pretty freaking hard.
That's good to hear.
Mechanically mm-hmm. pull hard in order to get it to break.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like some other stuff that we take into consideration. Like, we don't use rivets.
Mm-hmm. I read that on your site and I was like, that is so smart. I wouldn't yeah. have even considered that. But yeah. Just yes. waiting to bury themselves in your hip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we had talked to a couple of other people who had been in accidents, including mm-hmm. my husband,
yeah.
who had been in accidents in jeans, and you land on your hip, and you know that spot where the rivets kind of hold that little coin pocket in place.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It just becomes, yeah, like this hot, molten
Ooh.
Metal button thing that just wants to dig itself into your legs. So we thought we would kind of avoid that. And instead, we use a bar tack,
which
is just a bar tack is just a bunch of tight stitching lines
okay.
that are made by a dedicated machine.
So no additional
like hold your belt loops on or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So no additional material there.
Yeah. Just yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Was there anything else? How tell me about how you guys tested your fabric. I read a little bit about the Arduino machine that you guys built. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, I have a background in user experience design. My mm-hmm. husband has a background in software application development. And we both used to be pretty heavily involved in like the, I guess, kind of microcontroller robotics community mm-hmm. in Austin.
Very cool.
an event down there called Dorkbot, which was like people doing strange things with electricity. and so we had a lot of experience in using Arduino. Which is just a mini, just a microcontroller. You can program it to do a certain thing, a certain procedure to sense for something. And you just tell it, you know, what your given inputs are and what your outputs are going to be. And so we hooked up this Arduino to a, it's essentially, it's like a benchtop belt sander
mm-hmm.
that we were able to get some 60 grit sandpaper for. And have this Arduino set up with some sensor inputs, some wires that you would wrap around a piece of fabric that that gets dropped onto a belt sander with a weighted cylinder.
Yeah, to mimic what it'd be like in a crash.
Yes, yeah, it totally simulates it. And it's actually very similar to the way that that personal protective equipment is tested over in Europe. Mm-hmm. To get those CE ratings that you've mm-hmm. probably heard about for impact protection and stuff.
Definitely. So you guys tried to stay pretty close to the CE standards?
We did. We did. Mm-hmm. We followed all of their guidelines for building this equipment so that we could in-house test mm-hmm. all of the material, all the fabric that we wanted to use and figure out which ones were going to be the best, most protective, yet still good-looking fabrics that we could use to make our jeans and to make our other apparel.
Yeah. Well, that's really good to know, because it can be really hard to find gear that you know will really stand up to what might happen on the road. I mean, we don't have any sort of standards for jeans or even, I mean, we have we've got helmets and that's it in the United States. So it can be difficult, especially as a woman, to find gear that you know, has been tested to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there anything you guys learned about motorcycle safety gear while you were researching or designing that was somewhat surprising or that you hadn't thought of before?
Well, I mean, there's stuff that, you know, that you're probably fairly familiar with, you know, just the lack of options that you encounter in women's motorcycle apparel. You know, we decided that we wanted to work on closing that gap so that we would have additional safer options for women. Some manufacturers actually they'll make the same style of jacket for both men and women, but for some reason the women's jacket will be made of a thinner leather, or it comes with less armor, or sometimes no armor at all, whereas the men's jacket, you know, it comes fully armored in a thicker leather. It's just a really peculiar double standard that I think is left over from the fact that motorcycling for so long has been thought of as a men's sport. And, you know, women we're breaking into it much faster than I think most apparel manufacturers can keep up with us.
Yeah, definitely.
So the fact that we are, you know, that we're new and that we're able to take all these things into consideration as we're building and growing our company allows us to respond to them and even kind of anticipate the needs of the women's motorcycling community much faster than a larger company could.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think a lot of the bigger companies are absolutely scrambling right now to get rid of all the pink on their products and try to make something that's a little more equivalent to men's gear. So you said you've been writing. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say we do have a no pink policy here, actually.
That's good. I appreciate that. Can I just
anyone who actually
I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind pink. Pink is fun, but it's hard to match with, you know, like if I was looking for motorcycle shoes not too long ago and nearly all of the shoes that I found for women had like some sort of purple or pink decoration. And that's fine, but I wanted to wear it with all of my clothes. Not all of my clothes, you know, have some sort of pink or purple element to them. So it's like, you know, someone made fun of me, like always thinking about your wardrobe. It's like, well, you know, if a product doesn't look good, if something doesn't look good and someone doesn't feel right wearing it, then it's not something they're going to wear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how safe it is if they don't want to enjoy wearing it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's something the motorcycle industry has been realizing for probably a little longer than the women's industry has gotten into it. But that's something that's, you know, definitely changing, I think, the acceptance of wearing gear. So, which has been really awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So you guys have been promoting and kind of touring a little bit for a few months now, and you've gotten to talk to a lot of women about the jeans. What has been some of the feedback that you guys have gotten?
Well, it's interesting because we have at each event, even at this event that we were at last weekend, we were at Motos across America up in Milwaukee.
Nice.
I had women come up to me and say, I wasn't going to come today, but then I found out you were going to be here, and I wanted to see your jeans.
So, yeah.
We had one woman drive from, like, she brought her family with her. They were going to go out somewhere afterwards, but they had driven, like, an hour out of their way to come to Milwaukee to go to Motors Across America to check out our jeans and talk to us and try on a pair.
Yeah.
So it's been really rewarding to run into things like that.
Yeah.
And to talk to women who, you know, maybe didn't even know about us before, but who had been looking for something, you know, like what we're bringing to market right now. And so just being able to educate them about that and say, you probably haven't been wearing gear before because it doesn't look like something that you would feel comfortable wearing. But, you know, we bring to market something that is a cross between function and fashion.
Yeah.
Which you don't find incredible. In a lot of the apparel brands. And so having that as an option to give to them and say, hey, you know, you don't have to wear just your regular fashion jeans anymore. Mm-hmm. You can wear something that looks like a fashion jean, but protects you like protective apparel.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a relieving concept for many women.
Yeah, it really is. Based on that kind of thing and what I've seen just, you know, in social media, I think manufacturers have really underestimated the demand for this kind of product.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of people that, you know, this is just exactly what they have been looking for, which is awesome.
Yeah. And the style and all of the investigation and prototyping and things that went into it, like my husband and I have been working on the concept of this company for pretty like 2 years now,
mm-hmm.
getting everything together and doing the prototyping and sourcing and building the factory and so on and so forth. And part of the development process was not just the protective aspect of the apparel, but also mm-hmm. the fit. You know, we talked about mm-hmm. fit being important.
Yeah.
But it's the fit, not just when you're standing up, but when you're sitting on the bike, because this is a riding jean. So it's important yeah. that the fit well when you're sitting down. And so that's one of the things that, like, if you go to our Instagram page, you're going to see a lot of photos of women's butts.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, that's part of the fit that's
yeah.
important is how does it fit when you're seated? Mm-hmm. How does it fit when you're standing? Do you feel comfortable in it when you're in both positions?
Yeah.
And does it keep you from having plumber's crack?
It's important.
You know, you it don't is. Want falling down the back of your pants
yeah.
and
yeah.
people riding behind you trying to avoid looking at the crack of your ass that's hanging out. So, yeah, that was one of the things that I wanted to focus on.
Mm-hmm. It's important. I mean, some of the pairs of jeans that I've tried on, I ride a cafe racer, and so I'm leaned over all the time, and it's just painful on that where it like meets your thigh and your hip, mm-hmm. and it's uncomfortable. And you know, one of the things I always say to people is you want to minimize your distractions as much as possible, especially in the early days of learning to ride. And a lot of women are just now learning to ride, and so having gear that fits badly and is painful is just as much of a safety hazard as, not actually knowing how to ride, I guess, because it's another thing that keeps your mind off of, you know, what's important is looking ahead of you on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very important. So you said you've been riding for a while now. I'm not going to make you say exactly how long if you don't want to.
That's okay.
It's
10 years.
Awesome. Awesome. That's fantastic. So that's, you know, the women's motorcycle community has definitely changed a lot over that time. What has it been like to kind of witness that evolution and be, you know, a major part of it almost?
Man, if I could go through it all again and be a new rider now,
mm-hmm.
it would be so much easier, I think.
Oh,
when I first started mm-hmm. riding 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I knew no other women who rode.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would either go out and ride solo a lot, which I did,
mm-hmm.
Or I'd ride with my guy friends. And
yeah.
it was just a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, you know, maybe kind of selfishly, that I was going to teach the women that I knew how to ride. And some of them were into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of them weren't. The ones
I've definitely had that moment
yeah.
with my girlfriends.
Yeah.
Like, hey, have you thought about it? I'm selling a scooter.
Uh-huh. You become kind of that dealer, like,
yep.
You should try it, just at least.
I can totally relate to that.
I did end up teaching some friends
mm-hmm.
when I was living in Ohio. How to ride.
Nice.
One particularly good friend of mine, she got her mm-hmm. her motorcycle endorsement for her license. She ended up riding my kind of loaner teacher bike
mm-hmm.
For a long time. And yeah, we would just go out and do day trips and go out for coffee or stupid things like go to the mm-hmm. thrift store and go shopping or something like that. And it was trips and things that I could do with her that my guy friends were like, nah, mm-hmm. that doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a good time doing mm-hmm. it. And that was just kind of how I started.
Yeah. So you know, being one of the only women that rode, what kind of inspired you to start riding?
This is going to sound kind of weird. My ex-husband was just, he's the one who got me into riding. But riding on the back of his bike, he was an insane rider. And I did not like putting my life into his hands. It's like, fuck this.
Understandable.
Sorry if we're not allowed to cuss.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Okay. but at that point, it's like, nah, I'm riding myself.
Yeah, I get that. You know, whenever my boyfriend was the one that got me into riding originally, and I would ride around on the back of his bike, and it was almost, you know, it was more scary, you know, going into turns and not knowing. Like, he's a fine rider, like, you know, he's a little bit more of a daredevil than I am, but he's still safe overall. And even then, I was like, you know, I would much rather be the one in control of this situation.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on?
Yeah, I guess there are a couple of things that that I was going to talk about that kind of go towards, like, the future of the company.
Yeah, please.
Right now we're working on riding jeans. But that's not what we're all about completely. Like I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, we're a women's motorcycle apparel company, and not just riding jeans, but it was really good to start with the riding jeans first, because honestly, I don't think I could have picked a more complicated product to start with.
Get the hard stuff out of the way first.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, get the hard stuff out of the way, and then everything else is going to be simpler after that.
Yeah.
So I think as we move forward with, you know, our different cuts of riding jeans for the curvy and the more straighter shapes, we're going to move into other options to cover your lower extremities. So different types of pants that kind of fall into that area of form and function, stealth riding apparel.
Okay, so kind of
typically what it's going to be yet.
Okay. Well, it sounds exciting.
But there are some other options that are coming up that I think we'll have out before the end of the year.
Very cool.
As far as distribution goes, you know, I think we're still going to be touring around, going to some different events throughout the summer. This weekend we'll be at No Man's Land in North Carolina.
Nice.
In July, we'll be at the Women on Wheels event in Pennsylvania. Wow. And then later on in July, we'll be at the BMW National Rally, which is up in Hamburg, New York.
So you're going all over.
Then I think in August, we'll be looking at maybe some West Coast events. Although I don't have anything nailed down yet. But if anybody wants to give me suggestions on locations to show up and do an event for a few hours, I'd be happy to take those.
Cool.
Yeah, and then just regarding, like, retail distribution, we have a couple of different kind of premier retail locations where we're distributing our product right now. So Flash Motorbikes in Austin, Texas, you can go there to try on a pair of jeans. Scoot Richmond here in town with us, they're down south of the river in Manchester. And then also Union Garage up in Brooklyn. So they'll start carrying us pretty soon here. And then we're taking a look at a couple other places, maybe somewhere in the Midwest, like kind of Chicago, Milwaukee area.
Yeah.
And some other West Coast locations as well. So
kind of get across the U.S. as fast as we can.
We've got to get more people in our jeans. So.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to try some on, and I wish you guys the best of luck. I really think you guys are doing a great thing for the women's motorcycle community, and it's awesome that it's, you know, an independent company that you can go out and support instead of some big company coming out with their, you know, special women's motorcycle jeans, because it just feels so much better to support, you know, people that really know what it's like, you know.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Of course. Thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed talking to you, Laura.
Yeah, you too, Lauren. Thanks a lot.
For sure. And if anyone listening wants to go check out Worse for Wear, you can find them at worseware.com. And I'll, of course, link to that in the blog post. Well, that's it for me today, friends. Thanks for tuning in. And please let me know in the comments if you like the new format. Take care and keep the rubber side down.